Raising the cage and pissed up on the stage is only one sure way to bring the giant down. Deep on the screen, just amateur things with a one flat foot on the devil's wings.
Listening to Unsound Methods here on Yurt Radio. My name is Damon Blanchett. On this show, I talk science news, skepticism, and I play music. Each week, I choose a different theme for the music I play, and since today is Halloween, I'm playing stuff that's dark and scary. Monsters are good, too. Even a good song name works for this one. I'm not going to play things like Monster Mash, however, because those songs are pretty bad. The song at the top there was Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie. Yeah, I know, I played a song by that guy last week, but how could I not play something by Rob Zombie on Halloween? Especially Living Dead Girl. Zombies? Halloween? Yeah. If you'd like to reach me, you can do so in a nearly real-time way by sending me a tweet to at Damon Blanchett, DamonBlanchette. Or you can send me an email at damonblah@gmail.com. I'd say the biggest news this week, for those of us here on the East Coast, science or otherwise, is of course Hurricane Sandy. And it's the reason this show will have a bit less science news and a bit more music, because at my house we lost power Monday evening, and it was out all night. Always fun to get up in a house with no power, and thus no heat. And I have enough trouble getting myself out of bed when there is electricity. I didn't get power back until about 5:30 Tuesday. But how about some science? Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, was the largest Atlantic tropical storm system by diameter ever recorded. It's also the most powerful storm ever recorded north of North Carolina. And you can tell by looking at the satellite images. This thing covered everything from what looks like northern Georgia all the way up really far into Canada. Almost to the, basically into the Arctic Circle. The thing is unbelievably huge. It was, that is. I encourage you to look at some of those images. The scale of this thing is just amazing. A few facts that I happen to find. It's the 18th tropical storm, the 18th named storm, and the 10th hurricane in the 2012 Atlantic hurricane season. It was a Category 1 hurricane, which is the weakest type, but it'll still cause a fair amount of damage and power outages, obviously. Even though it was a Category 1, just the sheer scale of it was one of the reasons it caused so much damage. Let's see. It had landfall in the United States about 5 miles from Atlantic City, New Jersey. Also, a significant storm surge was shoved into New York City, flooding streets there, among many other places in the area. And there are some pretty amazing pictures online. If you go to the Atlantic, they have a huge collection of some of the most amazing images that you'll see, especially stuff around New York City and New Jersey. This storm did way more damage than you might have thought. If you haven't seen the pictures, it's really incredible. Counting the Caribbean, the U.S., and Canada, so far, at least when I looked last night, about 102 deaths have been reported so far due to the storm. Sandy is special in at least one way, and it has to do with the word the news cycles came up with, which is Frankenstorm. I'm sure you heard that one. Perfect for Halloween. I'm sure that's where that one came from. The hurricane was an incredibly rare convergence of a tropical storm coming up from the south and a winter storm coming down from the northwest. It's actually so rare that scientists are having trouble figuring it out. As far as I could find, I don't think anything like this has ever happened before. So to bring a little more science back into it, it all begs the question, if this storm was so huge and unprecedented, did climate change have anything to do with it? We've sure have been hearing a lot about climate change these last bunch of years. Turns out, according to climate scientists, the answer is a strong probably. There is probably no way to directly attribute the massiveness of the storm to climate change, but there sure are quite a few things pointing in that direction. According to science correspondent Christopher Mims, basic physics tells us, and this is proven, that warmer ocean surface temperatures will create more intense storms. In fact, according to a recent published paper by Grinstead Morin Jevre, tough name to say, in which they looked at data going all the way back to 1923, larger storm surges, like what hit New York City, were correlated with warmer ocean temperatures. And this was specifically in the Atlantic Ocean, right where Sandy formed. So warmer sea temperatures could be a reason that this hurricane was so powerful. What could be a reason for the warmer ocean temperatures, you might ask? Well, that would be climate change. According to climate change scientist, or climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe, about 15% of this year's unusually warm sea surface temperatures can be attributable to climate change. According to Mims, and I quote, "Warm seas are the fuel that drives hurricanes, and warm air can hold more moisture, which means heavier rains." End quote. It has already been shown that climate change has caused extreme weather all around the world. Just in the last decade, for example, this climate change has been linked to a 2010 heat wave in Russia, the 2011 Texas drought, and the especially deadly 2003 heat wave in Europe, which I believe killed hundreds, if not more than 1,000 people. It was quite an event. The answer to the question of whether we will be receiving larger storms and more extreme weather more often in the future is most definitely yes. How's that for some Halloween scariness? Whether you think humans created this climate change or not, it is affecting everyone. One interesting thing is that, at least from what I've read, Our two big presidential candidates, neither has mentioned climate change at all. I don't know. All right. I'm going to toss on another song. This is a song from a duo out of Israel, actually, originally. I believe they live in Los Angeles now. They call themselves Infected Mushroom. It's a techno song. So I know a lot of people don't like these kind of songs, but this is a perfect song because the name of it is Dracul. Here you go, Infected Mushroom.
My prince is dead. All is lost without him. May God unite us yet.
That was Dracul from Infected Mushroom, a song of the psytrance techno variety. One of my favorite techno songs, I'd have to say, going back very far. Let's see, my unsound method of the week isn't straight science on the surface, but it is economics, and that is a science. There's even a Nobel Prize for economics. It came out this week that the combined total money spent on their presidential campaigns this year is $2 billion. And it's about even. Money spent by both the Obama and Romney campaigns came out to about $1 billion each. I think this is just plain insanity. I just don't understand. I mean, how many homeless or starving Americans, not to mention those in trouble in other countries who are even worse off, could have been helped by that money? How much science, research, and increased understanding of the universe we live in could have been accomplished with that much money? And actually, I have a little bit more on that later. Let alone who anybody is going to vote for in the upcoming election. Both of the candidates, and I gotta say, in fact, our government as a whole should be ashamed about this. $2 billion. Will they see the error of their ways and have some more responsible spending for the 2016 elections? Probably not. It just has to be said. If both candidates and their friends, by the way, are spending this much money just to get elected, how good are they going to be when one of them is in office spending the taxpayers, that is our money? It's unbelievable to me. I mean, they're running for president. I guess they can spend their money however they want, and everybody in this country is free to donate however much money they want. But I think it's just crazy to me. Why? All they're doing is buying commercials, more commercials to put on the TV, radio, sending out mailings. Oh, I don't even know. It drives me crazy. So for spending $2 billion on their campaigns, both Romney and Obama get my nod for Unsound Method of the Week this week. And I got another slightly non-scientific news item here. It is all about science fiction, though. Yesterday, Disney purchased Lucasfilm. That's right. Disney, home of Mickey Mouse and Goofy, purchased Lucasfilm, which includes the rights to Star Wars, which is probably the biggest part of this. That it's not just Star Wars. They also actually, they also now own Industrial Light and Magic, which is a company that I would love to work for one thing. They have they do special effects for all kinds of movies, going all the way back to the original Star Wars, Indiana Jones, tons of movies right up to the present day. They have done work for. So not only did Disney purchase Lucasfilm, but they also announced a new Star Wars movie. It's going to be Episode 7, so it's going to be after. I mean, you can't do anything before what's already out there, unless you want to do an Episode 0, I guess. But this is going to be Episode 7 to be released in 2015. We just have to wait a few more years. We will have yet another Star Wars movie. I never thought this would happen. Especially considering the atrocious quality of the last three movies that came out. But with Disney owning the rights now, a lot of people are pretty excited. And there's a pretty good reason for that. Disney actually purchased Marvel, at least. I'm not sure if it was all of Marvel or if it was just the movie-making side of it. But they purchased them back in 2009, also for a substantial amount of money. And what came out of that was the movie The Avengers, which was incredibly awesome. If they can pull off Episode 7 in 3 years like they did with The Avengers, it could revive the Star Wars franchise like nothing else has. I for one, am looking forward to it. It could be interesting. Disney... say what you will, but Disney has put out some pretty good movies just in the last few years even. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll probably know more pretty soon now that the cat's out of the bag on that one. Hopefully maybe they'll put out some pre-made drawings or who knows what, some story details about Episode 7. It'll obviously have Luke Skywalker, who wasn't in the first three. I wonder what they'll do instead of Darth Vader. The Emperor and Darth Vader are gone. Who is going to be the new villain? That's going to be a big question. How can they beat Darth Vader, really? Anyway, how about another tune? This one's a short one. It's called Little Ghost. Right? Ghosts? Halloween? By the White Stripes. Jack White, guy is an awesome musician. So here's Little Ghost by the White Stripes. Not only is it Halloween, yes, maybe related to Halloween a little bit, but it's a great song. One of my favorites by the White Stripes.
Little ghost, what I'm scared of most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you. And it's night time to meet the Lord above. The first moment that I met her, I did not expect a specter. When I shook her hand, I really shook the glove. She looked into me so sweetly, and we left the room discreetly. No one else could know the secret of our love. Little ghost, what I'm scared of the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you. And it's not your time to meet the Lord above. Every morning I awoke, I see my little ghost. Wondering if it's big or it's lying there. I lean to touch her and I whisper, but not brave enough to kiss her. When I held her, I was really holding there. Little ghost, one I'm scared of the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? sees you, and I can't do much to please you, and it's not your time to meet the Lord above. Though I tried my best to keep it, there really was no secret. Must have looked like I was dancing with the wall. No one else could see this apparition. But because of my condition, scare me up a little bit of love. I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you, and it's not your time to meet the Lord above. No, it's not your time to meet the Lord above.
Little Ghost by the White Stripes. I promise my next couple of songs are going to be far more scary. These first few have a tenuous connection to Halloween at the best, but the next one is pretty good. All right. That was, again, that was Little Ghost by the White Stripes. Jack White, now there's a great musician, I must say. I'd like to play guitar like that guy someday. Also a pretty good singer. All right, anyway. Here's some science news that I myself am not too excited to read about, since I'm definitely a meat eater. I do enjoy a vegetarian meal now and then, but can't argue with the evidence on this one. Apparently, the typical image of a caveman sitting on a rock eating a big leg of meat was a lot more of a rare occurrence than previously thought. According to new research to be published next month in the American Journal of Physical Anthropology, animal proteins were less important to prehistoric people than everyone had thought before, or at least than scientists had thought before. The problem was that when you look at animal protein-heavy diet estimations for prehistoric people, if they actually ate as much meat as people thought, they would have been sick all the time due to an overabundance of nitrogen in their bodies, which would have happened because of all the meat. It would have been toxic amounts, in fact. Previous estimations showed that animal protein was responsible for about 60 to 80% of a prehistoric diet, which would be way too much to be healthy at all. They'd be walking around with stomach aches and heart attacks all the time. The disconnect here is that modern diets, when you look at it, contains no more than 45% protein of any type, that's animal or plant, which means the estimations of what prehistoric people ate was it was pretty far off. I'm actually surprised it took this long for this to be figured out. I lost my place. Oh, the problem was most likely because these estimations were based on wild animal diets, not humans. Admittedly, humans are animals anyway, but we have a different diet than, say, something like a lion, where meat is basically almost 100% of their diet. Tamsin O'Connell, a researcher at the University of Cambridge, said, and I quote, "We are suggesting that animal proteins would be less important overall, and that's particularly true for interpretations of Neolithic farmers. What that would mean is that they are having more of a balance of animal and plant proteins in their diet, suggestive of a mixed existence strategy," end quote. So if your argument for not eating your vegetables is that if prehistoric people ate pretty much only meat to survive, then you should too. You have just been proven wrong. These prehistoric and, in addition, recent ancestors going back to the beginnings of farming about 12,000 years ago had much more of a balanced diet than previously thought. So eat a balanced diet. I think I'm saying that to myself just as much as everybody out there. It is definitely the healthy way. Humans evolved from prehistoric times on a balanced diet. And so that is, if that's what we evolved to eat, then that is most likely what is probably what our bodies are the most used to. and will keep us the most healthy. All right. Now I'm going to play another song. This is probably one of the most spooky songs I have in my entire music collection, which is fairly large. It's perfect for Halloween, too. This song is by A Perfect Circle, with the singer from who actually has the singer from Tool, Maynard James Keenan, one of my favorite singers. Guy is awesome. Here's their song, Counting Bodies Like Sheep to the Rhythm of the War Drums. It's even got a spooky name. Here goes.
I'm here. Step away from the window and go back to sleep. Safe from pain and truth and choice and other poison devils. See, they don't give a fuck about you like I do. We'll be right back.
Well, that was a song from A Perfect Circle with a really long name. Counting bodies like sheep to the rhythm of the war drums. That was perfect for Halloween. I'm going to have to remember that one maybe for next year, too. That'd be great. Good theme, good Halloween theme song right there. I should have started with that one. All right. How about some astronomy? Can't go a week without talking about astronomy. So more awesome news just came in thanks to the Mars Curiosity rover. Thanks to its chemistry and mineralogy instrument called Chemin. It's the first ever in-depth analysis of Martian dirt. And this actually just came in, I believe, this morning, actually. It turns out that Martian dirt is very similar to Hawaiian volcanic soil. A bit of a surprise to a lot of people. David Bish, a Chemin co-investigator with Indian University, said, and I quote, "This Martian soil that we've analyzed on Mars just this past week appears mineralogically similar to some weathered basaltic materials that we see on Earth. It is like weathered soil on the flanks of Mauna Kea in Hawaii." End quote. The Chemin instrument on the Curiosity rover can tell us what minerals are present in the soil on Mars and how much of each mineral is there. This is the first time an instrument of this type, which uses X-ray diffraction to study the soil, has been used anywhere other than on the surface of Mars. All they had to do was they took the arm on the rover and they just dug it right down into the soil and they brought it up. And then it has this really neat device that takes everything that gets picked up and spins it around and then drops it into just the right place. In this case, the Chemin, the chemistry and mineralogy instrument, right into that, which then shot X-rays into it and then was able to see what happened after that, what the X-rays did. And this is how they can find out what's in there. Bish also said, and I quote, "Much of Mars is covered with dust, and we had an incomplete understanding of its mineralogy. We now know that it is mineralogically similar to basaltic material, with significant amounts of feldspar, pyroxene, and olivine, which was not unexpected. Roughly half the soil is non-crystalline material, such as volcanic glass or products from the weathering of glass." End quote. Unlike the news I mentioned a few weeks ago, where direct evidence was found of running water on Mars's surface, thanks to the discovery of certain rocks, the soil examined here has no evidence of strong interaction with liquid water. If there was or is life on Mars, it's not in this particular soil sample, that's for sure. In fact, speaking of life, coming up soon in Curiosity's exploration of Mars will be the first use of an instrument that can identify organic compounds, the building blocks of life. I, for one, can't wait to hear when that news comes back to see what they found. It'd be amazing to hear either way, if they don't find anything, or which would be quite a thing, or if they do, it would be even bigger. That would be amazing. Just any organic compounds. It doesn't even really have to be life. Finding any kind of organic compounds would be amazing. Just finding the building blocks of life on another planet for the first time ever. How amazing would that be? Oh, and you know, I mentioned before that I'd bring back the money spent on the campaign and how it might connect to scientific research. Well, the entire Curiosity program, that is, I think it's gone back at least a decade of planning, construction, the rocket, firing it into space, getting it to land on Mars, everything. That came to about $2.5 billion. Not much more than the money campaign, than not much more money than the campaigns, the presidential campaigns spent. And this is just two men trying to become the president of the United States. The difference? Curiosity expands the knowledge of the human race as a whole for countless future generations. I mean, it might find evidence of life on Mars for not a lot more than what these two people are spending to try to get elected. All these people are doing are buying commercials. Well, I said it before. Commercials, mailings, they're doing speeches. I do think, I mean, I'll agree, it's important for them to get their word out. And it does matter who gets in the that presidential office this year. That will matter for this country. But I think they've gone way overboard. I mean, take one of that $2 billion and put it to give it to NASA, give it to basic research, send it over to CERN in Europe to do some particle physics, so we can figure out the universe. There's just so much better uses for that money than commercials. All right, now, this one's interesting. This is a song I listened to quite a lot in college during some intense multiplayer gaming sessions, in fact. It's from Enya. Now, you may be surprised since Enya's songs are, well, normally they're the opposite of scary, but this one... this particular song has a different sort of idea going for it. It's called Pax Deorum. Get ready to be creeped out and turn up the bass if you've got it.
Sacramento, Mayo, Deo.
All right, that was an Enya song, believe it or not. I suppose it did have some lighter parts in it, but that's got to be the darkest song that she's ever made. The name of it was Pax Deorum. The words, I actually looked up the words one time. It's Latin, and I don't remember what it means. It's from a specific place. It's from a saying or something somewhere, the words out of that. It's all the science news I've got for today. My last 10 minutes here, I'm going to play a couple more songs. But first, I'd like to thank you for listening to Unsound Methods on your radio. My name is Damon Blanchett. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Twitter at Damon Blanchett. That's all one word. I'm also on Facebook or by email at damonbla@gmail.com. So I'm going to end it with a couple of songs. I think I can fit them both in. Yeah, definitely. The first one is Zombie Barricades by a band called The Company Band. Perfect for Halloween yet again. Zombie Barricades. Who doesn't make zombie barricades on Halloween? The Company Band, the artist, is actually a band I only just recently discovered. I found them because Clutch, one of my favorite rock bands, the singer from Clutch, is in the Company Band, along with a bunch of other people from other bands, and I can't remember the names of the other people. And the final song is Henchman Ride by Testament, one of my favorite metal songs. So we're going to go from a little bit of a groovy, kind of bluesy rock sort of deal to just some straight metal to end it out. Good way to finish up Halloween. So thank you very much, and I better connect this up to my laptop the right way. All right, thank you very much for listening, and have a great week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Be about Remy on the rocks, please.
Opening bottle.
Well, I'm back earlier than I thought because I was foiled by Spotify commercials. Maybe someday I'll give them $5 a month. Is that what it is, maybe? So I don't have to listen to these commercials every few songs. Who knows? It'd be nice. Maybe nice to play it on my phone, I guess. But so, just waiting for these commercials to finish before I get the last song going. Henchman Ride by Testament, which maybe you could see as a Halloween sort of song. And it's just about ready. This is a newer song by Testament. They've been around for a long time. Here we go.